Hi, thanks for joining us on another episode of Teacher Nerds Podcast. Joe and Ron are self-proclaimed teacher nerds geeking out on all things education. They are looking to move educational practices out of the 1900s factory worker model to a student-driven classroom full of empathetic, creative, and collaborative students who are willing to take risks. Joe and Ron welcome you to join discussions they used to have privately, where they discussed educational tools, techniques, ideas, policies, and much more. Joe is a third grade teacher and Ron a technology teacher for grades 3 to 8. Thank you for listening and becoming one of the Teacher Nerds. Check us out on teachernerds.com, and that's nerds with a Z. Find us on Instagram at Teacher Nerds Podcast or on Twitter at Teacher Nerds. And now a word from a sponsor.
Well, have you heard about the nerds? What's the word? Teacher Nerds. You can tweet them out on Twitter. You can find them on the gram. After listening to their podcast, you'd be sitting there like, bam! Trying to take the teaching from one level to the next. Reaching up to Canada and down to Mexico. Gotta go. Teacher Nerds. Start the show.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Teacher Nerds Podcast. I'm Ron Nober.
I'm Joe DiPaolo.
I'm a technology teacher for third grade to eighth grade.
And I teach third grade.
And we have our guest today, Kylie, all the way from Australia. It's Tuesday morning there, Monday afternoon here. Welcome. Thank you for waking up so early to join us. I know it's like 8 o'clock in the morning there.
Yes, it is.
All right. Great to be with you. Thank you. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself and about your journey in education?
Yeah, absolutely. I guess it wasn't a traditional journey in education. I didn't just leave school and then dream of becoming a teacher. I worked in industry. So I worked in television when I left school. And then I worked on the Olympics, 2000 Olympics in Australia.
Oh, wow.
And it was actually during the Olympics that I worked in a very small project on a very small unit, and they were teachers and psychologists. And I was a bit of a loss of what I was going to do. And they said, look, if there's one thing you should do, it's an education degree. And so I then embarked on an education degree. I took a sabbatical from work and I just started consulting back to television, and I finished my education degree. And then I went into media and education, so children's media, film and television, and I was consulting there and also teaching. So I really have an inquiry-based philosophy. So I've taught inquiry in terms of Reggio. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it's in early education. So it's learning through inquiry, basically.
Mm. Okay. I guess is it similar to a Montessori?
Yeah. So there's the Montessori lane and there's the Reggio lane. So there's a lot of crossovers. And it comes from Europe, actually. So I was sort of exploring that and my love of education. And then I had my own children and that grounded me. So I did my master's in information science.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I just became obsessed with, everything STEM and STEAM. And that was where I first founded my company. And so I've been working in classrooms and also consulting. And now I'm more full time just in my company.
That's fantastic. And so what is the name of the company? So for everybody out there.
So we're actually known as the Design Nuts.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah. That's the actual name of the company. But we trade as Splat 3D. So our website is splat3d.com.
I love it. Design Nuts. Very cool. All right. So before we get into our episode, we always start with an icebreaker. And it's our two yes more, one no way. And we're doing sandwiches today. I'm interested in finding out about maybe specifically Australian sandwiches or something, maybe. And we'll throw out some of our Philadelphia area sandwiches, I think.
It's time for two yes more, one no way.
All right, Joe, you're going to start us off?
Yeah, I could definitely start us off, Ron. And you talk about a Philadelphia favorite. So my top of the list is going to be for my yes, Italian hoagie with a little oil and vinegar and hot sweet peppers and lettuce, tomato, and onion on a good roll. And I think that's what makes the sandwiches, first the roll, but then the lunch meat and you know, what type of lunch meat and how the lunch meat is sliced you know, the freshness of everything else. So definitely an Italian hoagie. And then I think I could just make it pretty simple and go BLT.
Wow.
I think a BLT on white toast, breakfast, lunch, or dinner. I think it's always awesome. My one no way is going to be pretty random. It's anything with Miracle Whip. Like, Kylie, do you have Miracle Whip over in Australia? It's like a tangy mayonnaise.
Yeah, it appears on the shelf sometime. It's not a staple, but it's okay. Definitely seen there as an import. Yes.
It's you should tell them, keep it in America, because it is horrible. So those would be my anything with Miracle Whip. And I can like the sandwich, but just that spread is, I can't do it. I don't mind mayonnaise, but no Miracle Whip. So that would be mine. Kylie, you want to hop in there to go next?
Okay, so I definitely agree with the BLT.
Okay, cool.
I love
bacon,
it.
Bacon, right?
An aged cheese. We add aged cheese. Okay.
Oh,
that's really good.
Oh,
and there's one out here that I sometimes get, and it's got a herb mayonnaise on it. It's just so good. So I definitely go the BLT. It's probably my favorite, actually.
Oh, cool.
And then what's another one of my favorites? Oh, look, you can't beat a ham and cheese toasty out here.
So is that like a hot, like everything's hot, or just the bread?
No, so it's actually like you put it in a like in between two grill plates, and you toast it and you heat it up, and so it's all hot: the bread, the ham, the cheese. It's
nice.
It's and would you want sometimes with a bit of salsa? You know, give it a bit of.
That's what I was gonna say. Do you want mayonnaise on it or mustard? And you went totally the opposite way. You want salsa?
Yeah, I love ham, cheese, and salsa.
Okay, so cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what about a no way? What about a sandwich that you're not interested in?
You know, I was thinking about this, and egg sort of comes to mind immediately. I think in Australia we have really hot Christmases. And as a kid, you know, there'd be these egg sandwiches served. And warm egg sandwich as a kid is just, you know, left me scarred. So
really? Like egg, bacon, egg, and cheese on something you weren't into it?
No, I love that. These are served cold, right? So they put egg, they chop egg up with mayonnaise, and they put it on cold bread, and they cut it into triangles, and they serve it on little platters. But in Australia, if you serve it at 11 o'clock on a hot summer's day, by 12, it's warm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I
can
I love
see that
bacon.
Scarring you.
Yeah. I love bacon and eggs. Like, that's fine. But yeah, no, this is different. This is like cold egg sandwich. It's all warm, more to the point. Nope.
Oh, you know what? So that's like egg salad, probably. It sounds like maybe Ron, right? Like, yeah, we would have it as like egg salad.
Yeah, which is, that's not my thing either.
No, me either.
All right. So I went and did some research even on this a little bit today. we have time, right? We're on our winter break. So the hoagie, I was looking at the history of the hoagie. So a lot of times people call it a sub or a hero sandwich. And in Philadelphia, it was the Italian immigrants started making these sandwiches who worked on Hog Island down at the Navy Yard around World War I. And I guess the lore goes that it went from a hoagie to hoagie with the Philadelphia accent, and that's how it got its name. So I knew Joe was going to go with hoagie, so I had to throw my history of the hoagie.
But wait, did you didn't know that? Did you just find out?
See, now I knew that, but I wanted to be sure.
Okay,
so I went
okay.
and I did some research, but then I found someone said that is probably not the case, because the hoagie sandwich didn't really start to show up called a hoagie until the 1940s.
Mm.
And this would have happened in the 1920s. So then I found Al DePalma, Italian jazz musician, first opened up a sub shop in the 1930s around the Depression And they, his sandwiches, they said you would have to be a hog to finish the entire sandwich. Huh. And he started to call them the Hoggies.
Okay.
It's a hoagie.
That's interesting. So, I never heard that version.
Yeah, I had never heard that version either. That's why I went and did some research.
That's awesome.
You know, I was figuring, trying to figure out what the origin is. But hoagie's not one of mine.
Oh, get out of here. What kind of segue was that?
Well, I had to go. You had hoagie, so I had to throw it in there. Yeah, I did the research.
Yep, you're right.
Mine, I went and did some research too. It's the Philadelphia cheesesteak. Right? So it is very thinly shaved ribeye beef grilled with cheese and then onion on a roll. So it's and delicious.
The roll again is fresh baked.
Fresh baked roll really is the thing that makes it. So that's Philadelphia cheesesteak is definitely one. And that was in the 1930s was Pat Oliveri from Pat Steaks was a hot dog vendor and threw some Italian beef on a grill while he was working. A cabbie smelled it, pulled up and said, "Can I have one of those?" And then that's it all started.
So what's your favorite place?
My favorite place is Jim's. Steaks on South Street.
Yep.
Yeah. So
that's my dad's too.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So it's a very big, the Philadelphia cheesesteak, Kylie, is there are two places in South Philadelphia that kind of rival each other. They're actually on opposite corners across the street from each other.
Oh.
And one is Pat Steaks and one is Gino Steaks. And they are open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and you can go and get your cheesesteaks. So there's big rivalries as to who has the best cheesesteak.
And it's neither one of them.
No, for me, it's not. It's definitely Jim's on South Street.
Yeah.
My second one, I went, Joe, and you introduced this, and I'm calling it a sandwich. I don't know whether it is, but is Ma and Pa's.
Oh, the brisket burrito. Okay.
It's a Mexican Tex-Mex restaurant that just recently opened up near us, and a brisket burrito. Joe, it is
everything they cook is outside. They have a kitchen, but it's like just for chopping and cooking the sauces on the stove. All their meats and everything are all smoked outside.
I would still call that a burrito, a sandwich.
I think so.
You know, kind of falls into that. And then my no way has to be anything with like a portobello mushroom sandwich. Mushrooms are not my thing.
Oh,
there is a spongy texture to mushrooms that I just cannot handle. So yeah, that is definitely my no way.
So you're not into instead of having a steak, a big thick mushroom that's cooked way.
Do not try and sell me a mushroom as a steak alternative.
No comparison.
It's not happening.
So, I feel you.
No. All right. Well, cool. Kylie, thank you for indulging us in our two yes mores, one no way. We hope you enjoyed that segment of two yes more, one no way. We're going to take a little commercial break and we'll be back in a moment. Do you do making in the classroom? Do you want to inject creativity and design into your classroom? Do you want to prepare your students for any future they may face? Well, if you answered yes, then check out splat3d.com. Splat is a simple, easy-to-use tool to help students develop the capacity for geometric and spatial thinking, creativity and critical thinking, all the things needed for engineering design in the future. Splat3d.com even has free resources to get you started. And a YouTube channel with free video tutorials for all kinds of designs. Go to splat3d.com to get your splats now. Subscribe on their YouTube channel. Spread the word and share the splat love. Free shipping to the U.S. on class sets now until the end of January 2021. Let's talk about splat. Can you give us just a little bit of what is splat?
So Splat is actually a tool. It originally was a tool. So I was doing my master's degree and we were looking at the foundational elements for success in STEM and what were they. And as, you know, sort of I continued my research, I uncovered the need for visual spatial capability in students. And basically the spatial ability underpinned success across all areas of STEM. So it didn't matter what area you wanted to go into. If this skill set, children had this skill set that they've been identified to perform better over a long period of time and be successful across, you know, any sort of career that they wanted to go into, particularly engineering. So what was really then interesting to me was when I was developing this tool, which helps with, I guess, developing those spatial skills, was that mostly it happens later in students' journey through education. So a lot of students do remedial spatial training before they enter engineering. And there are special programs set up for that, more towards going to college and university. But what's fascinating is it's best developed in the early years, which is where I was really interested. So how could I get younger students drawing what they imagine in 3D, and how do they do that? And I looked at all sorts of things. And then I realized that all Lego instructions are in isometric, and that students from very early on, so three, are reading in isometric and constructing.
Right. I've never even thought of that.
Yeah. So you look at any Lego instruction, it's all in isometric. And that is how we actually mentally perceive things when we're thinking about blocks in our minds and construction. So that is the, I guess, the go-to sort of view that we produce mentally when we're doing mental rotation. Right. So what I realized was, is that actually, you know, kids as young as three are already doing this. In fact, they've done it for a few years before they even reach kinder. And a lot of children in the world have access to Lego, right? Or building blocks, just building blocks. So it's not something that was overly restrictive or not available. So it's pretty much universal. And then what we looked at was like, how do I get then my students drawing this early? And so there's basically three ways that you can improve your spatial awareness. So that is actually constructing. So using blocks to construct. Yeah. So we see a lot of wooden blocks in early childhood. We can look at Lego, all that sort of stuff. I say Lego, I should just refer to generic building blocks. And then you can actually do like map reading and understanding, you know, your left and right, and how to navigate your space, yourself within a space, right? So map reading is really important, creating maps, treasure maps, all that sort of stuff, so that that sort of thinking and processing happens. And the third one is drawing in isometric. Now, that's the one that trips us up, because we don't do developing geometric thinking in the early years very well, right? And we don't assess it very well. So then it was like, well, how do I get students that young to draw? And I was told, no way. Like, there was just no, I was crazy. And so that just lit a fire. Because I knew if I could tap into this ability, that I could show that children were capable of this, and that there was a better way to develop this skill. And so my husband's background as an industrial designer, and he has this capacity, and I'm like, right, I need to create a tool. And at the beginning, we didn't even know what we were doing. We just wanted to develop this skill set. So anyway, long story short, we, with probably our youngest children, so we have five, but the younger ones are more in this age bracket. Yeah. and they're probably waiting on me for breakfast. But the youngest two were sort of in that category at the time. And together with them, we designed and 3D printed on our kitchen bench the first ever tool. Now, you can see a large one cut out behind me, but I have a smaller one. I think if I hold it up, I don't know if you'll be able to see it, but if I do that,
yeah.
Can you see that?
Yep. Yep.
They come in every color of the rainbow.
Yeah.
and basically this is what we came up with. And we took it to Engineers Australia and showcased them what the tool could do. And we trialed it in several schools, and we tried it with the Department of Education, and we won a grant to have it mass produced. So basically it's made from recyclable plastics, and it's injected molded. So it has a tool, a steel cavity, and it just pumps them out. And this is the tool. So I can explain how it works a little bit later, but fundamentally it's to help students visualize their ideas for designing in STEM, and also developing their spatial awareness for success in STEM.
That's awesome, because I do, like I said, third to eighth grade STEM. Yeah. And in seventh grade, we do a bioengineering,
assistive devices.
Yep.
And the, you know, one of the hardest things is when it's time to take your idea and then draw it out in isometric and in a, you know, maybe an exploded view or something like that. And it's always the most difficult part. And that's where I think a lot of times I'd lose, students start to lose some interest because it becomes so difficult then, especially, you know,
what it is? It's a tedious task.
It is.
And using that, I mean, I watched the one video that, well, I watched a couple of them, but the one that got me hooked was on the skate park.
Oh, yeah.
I knew that.
I'm like, hey, look at this. But like, just like, that's when I watched that video, that's when I really started to figure out how that, it seems like a little just simple piece of plastic, right? With just some bends in some right ways, but it can get you that depth that you're looking for. And I teach third grade, so I see it very early on. The kids, they don't want to spend a lot of time on that part of it. And that's kind of a crucial part.
Yeah.
That's really going to show and explain some thinking. And Ron, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No,
but it's that video. I'm like, oh, because I did, you know, the skateboarding hooked me. I like drawing waves. And I started thinking like, yo, how can I use that to draw waves? And then I started, you know, the more I got into it, even not for design, like even we have a geometry chapter on shapes and attributes. Like that's where immediately my mind went until I saw the chicken coop, the design. I mean, that's what we're going to do that. We have a Maker Friday. So that's going to be our Friday maker activity.
Oh, awesome.
Coming back. Yeah, most definitely. But
well,
I did.
Once
I mean,
you understand. Yeah.
Well, and then, but so the bigger one behind you. Yeah. So how, and I saw that does that come with the box?
So there's this big one here.
Yeah.
That comes with the box. So when you order a class set, you get 30 of the small and in all different colors, and then you get one of the large. We do have teachers that just order these, and they might have quite a few in their classroom because students love actually drawing big. And what happens is that as they grow older and they don't develop this skill, you find that students' drawing shrink because as their confidence shrinks, their ability to draw freely really reduces. What we're not realizing is the ability of them to transfer what they're perceiving mentally into this world. And so we see it as them not being able to draw, but we don't actually see it that underpins their thinking, right? Because if you're talking about visual thinking and you ask a student to represent something and you immediately see that they can't represent that, then you are actually looking at a gap in their ability to think and communicate.
Right.
So, for instance, if you were to do it in writing and say to them, okay, craft this sentence for me, and then you look as they go and there's no punctuation and the spelling's out, well, you immediately know that that child has got a gap in their learning. It's visible to you. And in terms of spatial ability, necessarily because we're starting to live in virtual worlds, that is actually a gap in their ability to process these thoughts and really expand on that.
I started to see how the little ones could come into play. But now after you hear and explain that, like I go right to those big, we have big easels. So we give them the big easel pads and really kind of get up and showcase their thinking. Or I guess once they learn how to actually use the tools to showcase their thinking that way. So it makes a lot of sense.
And it's fun. And what happens is if you don't help students recognize their ability to actually do this, this is what's amazing. When you see them do it at such a young age, you're like, wow, if they're able to do this, what else can they do that I don't know about?
Right.
You know, what else is left untapped, you know, because we have such a structured linear process in terms of a lot of our education. So, you know, that's we find that really fascinating is that, you know, it excites the children because when you get them older, say you're in year four or you're in year seven and someone says, okay, draw your idea for a solar car. You know, it's like saying to the a child in front of the class, jump on that bike and ride it when they've never ridden a bike.
Right.
You know, they're horrified. They often just scrunch up their scribble and throw it in the way and they don't value it. So I'm trying to get people to value that representation of their thinking.
Right, or them just saying, I can't. I don't know how to do that. Yeah. I can't.
Well, here's a great way to get you started.
Right.
And, you know, so, yeah.
And I think on your website, you guys have some great resources,
yeah.
You know, to kind of get you started and get students interested. Like Joe was saying, the skate park or the chicken coop.
The chicken coop, yeah. There's a design playbook, right? I think it's yeah. a design playbook. There was, I got two or three of them. Definitely the one was the chicken coop because our kids specifically have chicken coops. And I love the design thinking projects. This year, it's kind of hard. I don't know if it's just because of everything that happened last year with the shutdown and them really thinking on their own. It's really, you know, it's where it's been a lot of fun in the past on the kids' part. It's almost like it's pulling teeth now just to get that type of thinking happening because I just...
Well, where do you start? You know, where do you start? And I often talk to students in grade three, you know, I go into classrooms and I've had my own class, you know, grade three class that I've taught before. And you say to them, you know, how many objects do you think there are in the universe, or 3D shapes as Americans often refer to them? Like, how many of these do you think that it takes up to make everything, you know, in this world and outer space? You know, and they're like, oh, like a million, you know, Googleplex, like they and I say to them, I say, well, imagine if I told you there are only five. There are only five objects and everything else is derived from those, and engineers use these five core objects, 3D shapes, to basically design this world and outer space. And all of a sudden, it's achievable for them. Oh,
right.
I only have to learn five? And it's just a combination of these, and then you build on the mathematics. And, you know, look at volume of the shapes and all those sorts of stuff. And it really does then become more accessible for them. You know, they understand that that's where their ideas basically born from.
I think they would really lend its hand also to sketchnoting.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah. We have interactive notebooks that we started last year because of COVID. They asked them, we went interactive fully on digital, but now moving forward, I think we're going to ask them to come back again. And that's the first thing I started thinking of was how everyone says I can't draw, or I don't want to say everyone. Right now we have 13 kids in the class, and I can see two kids really draw well, and the other kids kind of shy away from it because they always say, I'm not good at it. But now you give them the opportunity, especially with explaining, hey, these are the five shapes that are going to be the basis for everything. It almost like opens up that opportunity to say, hey, maybe I can do this.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's confidence. It's developing their confidence. It's dealing with self-doubt. It is definitely part of that growth mindset that we all have to adopt as lifelong learners. I mean, look how we've had to adopt, you know, adapt, you know, this year. We're all learning all the time.
Yep, every day. All right, so I got to ask, give us the five shapes.
Oh, okay.
The keys to the universe.
Yeah. So, this is really fascinating, right? So actually, there's a two-hour free online training for teachers through our website that you can access. And it goes into this further. But basically, 80% of our world is designed on just a cube and a cylinder.
Wow.
So the first two are cube and cylinder. Then we have pyramid, the sphere, and the cone.
Yeah. Okay.
That is it. That's where everything else is derived from. So understanding how to do those five core objects, 3D shapes, is your foundation across the board. You know, the most amazing companies that produce the most incredible technology, their engineering design team work on those five core.
Those five basic shapes. And again, like you said, I mean, when you, even myself, like when you say that, I'm like, all right, well, I can master five shapes. You know, I'm pretty sure I can do that. I'm not an artist, but you know, that I can handle.
And I'm by nowhere near an artist, but I've been trying to get better at sketchnoting the past couple years. So I didn't know geometry is my worst. So I was thinking a square, a triangle, but you're right. Like, what'd you say the first two were? The globe and
the cube and the cylinder. So if you look at you look around your home and or your tech, you might be a cube, but it might be like a rectangular prism. So it might be two cubes together,
right?
Or your headphones that you're wearing. So they're cylinders, but they're quite shrunk right down. But the basis of that is cylindrical. So yeah, so that's where it all starts.
And that course you have on the website is free for teachers?
Yeah, it's a two-hour free resource for teachers, just explaining the tool and how to use it and the shapes. And, yeah, so the complete curriculum for that is online under our design school.
Wow, that's awesome. That's amazing. Yeah. I love that you guys offer that for free. It's understanding teachers and that teachers want to put all this stuff into their classrooms but don't always have the financial resources to do it.
But not when I'm looking like, because I'm going to start to grab some. They're only $5 a piece.
Yep.
So to be able to, and I saw, are they coming from Australia?
They are at the moment, but next year, 2021, they will be available from the States. So for quicker delivery. Okay. So we're going to send some over to a drop ship at the moment. Amazon's looking probably the most likely. And so, yeah.
So maybe I should wait then on, wait a couple, maybe weeks.
Yeah, so you're probably closer to February at this rate, just because, like, not only am I the CEO of my company, but I'm also the janitor. And I'm like, welcome to startup world. It's a little bit like teaching, you know.
Yeah.
Make the most amazing entrepreneurs I've discovered, because everything, you know, like that you learn in the classroom and the triaging, you take with you. It's a lifelong skill set. So
I like to say, when I get up in the morning, what fires are we going to have to put out today? And, you know, just get to them.
Yeah. So we're really excited. We are hopeful that it'll be there. Our biggest, I guess, drive is to create awareness for this skill set and the early development. Where a lot of the free resources have actually been sponsored by the Department of Education, Engineers Australia. So, and we also took out, we were top 10 for top Australian innovations last year. So, with that came an ability to be able to release a lot of resources freely. And at the moment, we're almost at 500 subscribers on our YouTube channel. So 93% of our people that watch don't subscribe. But the more subscribers we have, and that as we grow that audience, the more free resources that we can make. So everything that comes into the business goes back out as resources.
Awesome.
Teachers can download a free template from Department of Education website. So they can trial it. They don't have to put that $5 out on the table if they can't afford it. Right. And in some of my workbooks, I also supply isometric paper.
Yep.
So it has lines so that if a student's unable to access that, they can still start getting the concept. Yeah. So there's multiple ways that you can do it without having to have an expense. And that's hopefully how we try and create an equitable, access for teachers and students.
I'm so looking forward to it because we used that isometric paper before and I was so excited and the kids wanted nothing to do with it. I'm like, what, are you kidding me? You could do this and you could do that. But they just didn't know.
Yeah.
They didn't know. So I the design stuff is fun for me. And I say I'm not a very good artist. I'm not, but I like to draw. So I'm excited to be able to bring this into the classroom. And it's like a win-win. It's going to help their thinking. So that,
right.
So now when the parents say, why, I'm going to say,
listen to the podcast.
Yeah, man, it's going to help them out.
You wait till you see it in the classroom.
Yeah.
You wait till you see they think it's a magic trick. They think it's beyond them. It's really exhilarating as a teacher to be in a space with a group of students. I mean, that's why you become a teacher.
Right.
And to see that, and we've had wide adoption in Australia. We're in multiple different countries, and the results are the same every time.
I can, we've done this podcast for quite a long time and had a lot of different people on. And I can honestly say this and Book Creator are the only ones that I've actually wanted to really go out and purchase with my own money to bring into the classroom, just because, I guess that, you know what they both have in common? Book creators, $10 a month. This is $5. It's affordable. If I can get these, and maybe that'll be the thing, I could get the everyone's juices flowing, because I just think this would lend itself without a doubt to our geometry. We have a chapter that it's a chapter we never get to. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
We had a teacher here at the end of the year that just did an Among Us 3D map.
I saw.
That's awesome.
And Among Us, I mean, they played on the playground, and that's one of the big, the whole last week, they're like, can you pick us? Like, you know, they're all standard. I don't even know what the game is all about, but I know the kids are into it. And I'm like, oh, they could, and we're actually going back. Our social studies topic will be communities. So I'm like, they could use these to design sections of a community. Like the juices started flowing. That's why I'm like, you know what? I don't care if this stuff was due last week. I could put forth a couple bucks and, you know, get a couple of these for the classroom to get them excited. And then to hopefully get the district to buy, because I'd like one of those big ones.
We'd be happy to sponsor a teacher also that is listening. So I'm sure.
Oh, that's awesome.
We'll throw that out there.
You know, if you want to put something together for your teachers, we'd be happy to also sponsor a teacher or a school in the States and just, you know, really push forward on it, you know, expand what they think's possible in their classroom.
Awesome. So maybe Joe and I will think of like some kind of promotion to do.
Yeah, throw out there, right? In the Twitterverse or something.
And then we'll get in touch with you when we have a winner.
Yeah, absolutely. We'd be thrilled to. It's been amazing. You find that students in remote places too, like we've had students that don't have anything but a pencil and a paper and a dirt floor in some of the islands off Australia in remote places, are able to get exactly the same results from a student in the city. So it's definitely something that you don't have to have anything else to make it possible.
Well, you think about it, we talk about it all the time. What's going to make that student successful in life? Like being able to think, being able to problem solve. So that's that the iSTEAM projects are the perfect, I don't want to call it a curriculum, but that's what kids have to learn how to do, right? Think on their feet and solve problems and then take it to the next level to actually solve the problem. And, you know, you could do that with this. It's simple as a paper and a pencil, and instead of a ruler, a splat.
Yeah. Well, and that's, I was going to say, the isometric paper, I buy it every year for class. Isometric paper is ridiculously expensive as compared to like plain white paper. You know, I always tell the kids, I said, I think it's made with like seal skin or something. Like it's got to be from like some kind of exotic animal because it's so much more expensive.
Hold on. Disclaimer. Teacher nerds are definitely pro animal. Like, you know, you run a dog training company. We do not endorse
paper made of
animal
seal
products. Correct, yes. Correct. Okay.
But, you know, these, you know, your splats, reusable, white paper, never have to buy isometric paper if you don't want after that, because the angles are already built in, you know, for making that isometric sketch. So, yeah, it's pretty cool. We were talking earlier before we started to record the episode about COSPAR and how, I guess, splats connection to that. But interesting to me was that, A, I've never heard of it. And it's been around, you said, since, you know, World War II. So could you kind of give us a little background about COSPAR and then maybe talk about how SPLAT is now connecting with that?
Yes. Yeah, so it's quite fascinating. When the World War II took place, scientists obviously were restricted from collaborating across, borders due to the political climate. And as a result of that, after the war, they decided to set up an international committee for space research and furthering space exploration that was globally available to any researcher and was not dependent on the political climate. So thus was born COSPAR, which is the International Assembly of Scientific Researchers. And I think it's actually committee... Committee of Space and Research or something like that. That's what it stands for. So it's a little bit of an acronym. But for the first time ever in its history, they are going to be, the committee is actually hosted out of the Southern Hemisphere, which means, hello, Australia. We have a brand new space agency. So the Australian Space Agency's just started and they've now joined this network. And then COVID hit. And the 4,000 attendees that were meant to, I guess, meet for this summit are no longer able to come because our borders are closed. So we are now doing a hybrid, they're doing a hybrid format. And as part of that, for the first time ever, they've decided to create a free student component. And it runs alongside the assembly and it allows students and teachers all over the world to access the best research in space and learn from the greatest basically STEM minds in that area. So to make that possible, Microsoft have stepped in and they have funded the development of CosSpark TV.
Wow.
And it will be streamed globally at the end of January and beginning of February. And teachers are able to go online and book in for virtual sessions that they can share with their students and also for their own personal professional development. And I can send the link through to that. But I think a lot of your teachers out there probably have heard of the Space Gal or Emily that does Emily's Wonder Lab. She also hosts Fox Network out of Space Explorers. And so she's quite big in the States. So she's our international person who's actually giving a talk on her journey into her journey to becoming an engineer, an astrophysicist, I think it is. But she'll be doing that, and she'll also be providing a Q&A for teachers and students. Now, sessions normally sell out. Now, and that's repeated. We've got NASA, the Goddard Space Center, running sessions. We've got the European Space Agency. So all these different entities coming together to deliver world-class educational opportunities for students.
Awesome.
Yeah. So and
please send that link.
Yeah. So the CoSPAR TV, that's going to be web-based.
Yes.
Oh, very cool.
Right. Yeah. So in person, there are actually going to be several in-person events. That's completely sold out under COVID restrictions.
Right.
We have minimal community transmission in Australia. And so that will actually mean and allow that students are able to actually attend in person, but you can't now.
It's completely sold out.
But anyone in the world can log on and access CosSpark TV, thanks to Microsoft.
Oh, that's awesome. And so now what is... Because you were talking earlier that Splat is kind of getting involved. So what's happening with that?
So I guess it's really interesting because Australia was going to host it. They were looking for, I guess, innovative companies to be involved in this education stream of the assembly. And we were asked if we would contribute a project. So we have contributed a project called Plants vs. Mars and also a rocket rescue project. And those two projects will be featured at the actual physical event. And also there'll be elements available online from those two projects that are freely available. So with the Plants vs. Mars, they'll be looking at biodomes and how to represent their ideas in 3Ds and ag tech, you know, what type of plants might develop on Mars. Is Mars environment going to win or the plants going to survive? So it's a great STEAM project with some awesome questions, all based fundamentally on science. We've got a scientific illustrator who has developed some ideas around what those plants might look like in terms of evolutionary science, and they'll all be available online. So that's pretty amazing. We've got delegates from the States working on the project as well that specialize in plants in space.
Very cool.
And so it's really cool. And then we've got a rocket rescue. So both projects in around IoT, so that's Internet of Things and remote deployment. So there's lots of different levels from this, from kindergarten kids understanding, you know, how to develop a plant that might live in space and the habitat that might be created, all the way through to IoT development, self-deployment, like you're seeing at the moment with the projects that are being deployed on Mars.
Very cool.
I I keep hearing the theme song to Muppets in Space. Plants in Space. But that's our whole third grade, you know, living things and the life cycle. And
So it's livability. It's looking at the livability and everything that we normally talk about in terms of livability, but it's giving an inquiry based in a different environment. And so what's so intriguing is it creates this narrative that really connects with students because it's different to the normal narrative that we talk about.
Yep.
And really allows them to, I guess, fire up their imaginations.
Well, I think that's it. It opens the door to creativity.
Yep.
As opposed to, you know, take a test and show us what you learned about plants. You know, now show us what you learned about plants and design a greenhouse or a biodome on Mars.
Yeah.
But I guess you would have to probably give them that information. You know, the atmosphere on Mars looks a lot different than the atmosphere on Earth. So maybe, what do you call that? Front load some of that information.
Yeah. So we've developed 12 activity cards that are across all stages to help front load that. They'll be available. And also we have created, but it hasn't been uploaded to our website yet, obviously, because the event hasn't started. But it'll be a free resource book, just like the chicken coop.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That the students can work through. That instead of being called Project Chicken Coop, it'll be called Project Plants vs. Mars.
I can't. And then there's the rocket ship one that's already up there. So the one you're talking about now is going to be in addition to that one?
Yeah. Awesome. So that one that has been placed up is a senior project that was paid for by the Department of Education. So that one's freely available. We have a secondary website called iteachstem.com.au. So that's available from our website and also our secondary website that we've partnered with. And so there'll be a junior version of that cool. allows students to investigate a rocket rescue.
That's and what awesome. Was the website? iteachstem?
So it's iteachstem.com.au and it's free resources for teachers again. Particularly, I guess, an Australian audience, but it could be used by anyone. So that's freely available as well. So we're putting more and more resources. We've only just launched that. So that's brand new. And the rocket one's really cool because you actually get to choose different nose cones and different fins and all different types of elements to place on the rocket. So you actually get to construct and design that. And at the actual physical event, students will be able to design their own rocket based on this mix and match scenario. And then they'll be able to choose the actual trajectory at which they fire at to land into the zone. So it's going to be really cool. It's based on air and not water. And so we've actually engineered a system so that we can do that. So it's very, very exciting.
That's awesome. And that actually would fit in. I do with my fifth grade, I have them, I built an air cannon.
Yeah.
And they design a capsule and 3D print the capsule. And it has to hold one Pringles potato chip and has to survive a launch and landing.
How long does it take to get the splats to Jersey or New York to the East Coast?
Well, prior to COVID, it was quite quick, you know, sort of it was like a week or two turnaround, depending on what type of postal that we sent. And then with COVID, there can be some delays in the process. So normally from Australia, it would arrive within a week, but then we have found that just at this time, it's just a little bit longer.
It might be sitting in a place, right? Like it might be sitting and Man.
That's what we found. The stock would be sitting in customs in LA and saying that it's there, but not actually then moved on for just a little bit longer than usual. So that's why we've decided to send the product in bulk and then have it distributed so you can get it in a day or two.
That's okay. Awesome.
I'm going to wait then. I mean, I don't want to wait, but I guess it makes sense to wait. No. I don't want that. I'm just saying like, I'll have to wait either way because if I get it tomorrow, I'm not going to get, you know, it's going to sit there because of bureaucratic tape.
COVID.
Just another chalk it up to 2020 and Rona.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, it's awesome. This episode's actually going to come out on January 25th and the Coast Bar starts on the 28th.
That's right. Oh, cool.
So it'll get people a little pique their interest, and then maybe they can get in and register, which will be
absolutely
awesome.
Yeah. And you know, the ongoing resources from that will be available to teachers for 12 months. There'll also be a replay, I think, in April, cool. where you'll be able to access some of the programming again if you miss out this time. So, yeah, so there's lots happening, and sometimes I think that there's so much happening out there as a teacher, it's really hard to decide what to focus on.
100%.
Yeah, so I think for me, it's very much about foundational skills and making sure that, you know, that wide, you know, strong base and foundation is there for our students. So, you know, that's what we try and focus on. Yeah.
I do. And I love that because, again, you start, Joe and I talk about this, whether it's with design thinking or engineering, you know, we talk about this a lot. Like if you started at kindergarten, imagine by, you know, grade five, what the kids are going to be able to do.
Fostered every year, right? Like right. not maybe this teacher does it or
right.
you know, some kids might get it in, you know, as right. That whole curriculum is based around that.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really inspiring, to be honest. You know, we want to save the world. We want to educate kids. There's just so much emotive, reasoning behind what we do as teachers, you know, and teachers are inherently creative. It's incredible, you know,
yeah.
You know, how they problem solve and triage and they do everything that they need to do.
Triage, but at the end, that's an interesting that's an interesting way to describe it.
So,
I didn't mean to cut you off. I'm sorry, because you were on a roll and I totally agree.
Yeah, it's true. We spend our days triaging, deciding which problem, which fire, which is the most, you know, intense while we're delivering learning and taking care of student well-being. And this year, you know, often doing double up, so in person and online. And it is exhausting, but we continue because we have this, you know, really strong conviction that it's worth it.
Yeah.
Oh, totally.
Is there anything else that you wanted to highlight, you know, about SPLAT or COSWAR or anything?
I think the most important thing is I say to teachers is I applaud any teacher that is willing to try something new in their classroom.
Absolutely. Right?
And, cool.
And I have been in that position where I feel like I have 20 people selling to me at one time while I'm trying to teach and everybody's got the new best thing. So I say to teachers, probably just going into 2021, just be kind to yourself and choose to do something very simple, like something small. And if you want to add anything or change it up, and hopefully, you know, don't look at SPLAT as this big thing, all encompassing. Just have a look at it in terms of helping your students visualize those five core objects, and really might come of that. So even if it's just a 5-minute sketch session, or it's you put it in your geometry, don't try and create something new for it. It's designed to be included and make something that you already do easier.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I think that's been the winning appeal of it. No batteries. Teachers say no batteries. No
I think that's exactly what it does. Is it's something to enhance something you're already doing, and maybe even make it more interesting for the student, engage them more.
I think it gives them access just from the little bit that I've watched and from wanting to get better myself with sketchnoting and not only for myself, but for them as well, you know, to watch them progress. Did you see, Google had a challenge out. I don't know if you saw that. I was using it last year to really have the kids try and just try and do things. And I think sometimes that's it, that bar is up where it's like, I'm even too scared to attempt because I know I can't draw, so I'll fail. And it, you know, like, and I just think like, had we, you know, the ruler's great, but I, you know, that's almost like a ruler, a protractor, a compass.
Yeah.
It's like everything all in one, and it'll fit right inside a pencil case.
Yeah. I need to write this down. You're doing great.
I will record it.
Joe just wrote your next advertisement.
You know, like I know the stuff I've used to try and become better at sketching or to get what I have up here. I don't, you know, the stuff we just talked about. And the fact that you can go by, you know, I know in our Walmart, it's a probably a 5x6 plastic thing with a whole bunch of different size circles in it. If you didn't want to buy a comp, you know, like just the tools that are out there, that's what do we call it? That's a Swiss Army knife right there.
Exactly. Well, yeah, that's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Right? We had somebody review that. What's cool about this, and I'll see what link it's on, which tutorial, but this will not only create a sphere, but it will also create different three different size circles so that you can use it like a protractor. So it can work. It takes a little bit more dexterity so the older students can do it, but there are some hacks with this that are quite interesting.
And that's interesting because I was going to say, I would imagine the more it gets used, you'll find kids figuring out innovative ways to use it that we haven't even thought of, or you may not even have thought of as the inventor of it.
Yeah, it's great. I find the very first thing when I gave it to students that were in kindergarten to see what they did without any instruction, they traced it and made a face out of it. You know, I had all sorts of things, you know, so it's kind of cool too, just to, you know, in those earlier years, just to let kids play and explore with it and discover. You know?
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. I thought it would be just, you know, the first time you use it as a teacher, don't give any instruction. Just give it and just let them go to town with it.
Mm, yeah, it's a great problem-solving activity when you get students, and it is interesting. A lot of teachers too, they'll say they can't draw. So in Australia, right, we have a lot of female primary teachers who haven't had their spatial skills developed. It just wasn't something that anyone thought about. You're either gifted with being able to draw or you didn't. No one really thought about something that it could be developed, which it can, absolutely. Neurologically, we know that. So, yeah, so it's good for teachers that don't feel confident either, because it's a fail safe.
Right.
Well, like I said, I love drawing waves. So I'm looking at that thing like, oh yeah, look, like I could do this and that could be a wave, or I could do it like this. And then I saw, did you do a Christmas tree? Something with Christmas trees? So it took me seeing the Christmas tree to go, oh, so that's how I could draw a wave one way. Like there was just, I would have a blast with it just sitting around tooling around. And I know my son's an avid drawer. So I'm gonna say, hey, check this out and see what he did. Like he's got full on, like he's got the books, and I do. I love that tool. And I was dead serious before, like out of all the episodes we've done, I've never, you know, other than books and stuff like that, just like something to bring into the classroom for the kids, that we couldn't, you know, work through our administration or something like that. Like I think this would be a tool where the sooner we get it in there, the better, you know, like the sooner we get in, the sooner the benefits will start.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. And we are happy to also create YouTube tutorials for teachers. So they're free. They're another free service. We have, you'll notice on some of our tutorials, some of them are private. Some schools don't want to be, you know, known on YouTube.
Right, right.
So the private links, but other schools are happy. They're happy to say, you know, that we're using them. And you'll see that we just, we link in with one of their programs and create a YouTube tutorial to fit their program.
Who did the skate park?
Oh, that was really interesting. So that's my husband. Glenn is the other member, and he's industrial designer. So we decide on what projects we want to do. And that was actually in conjunction with an actual skate park.
Oh, get out of here. That's awesome.
Yeah. So
that's very cool.
Yeah, Chicky Skate Park. And so that's real world design. That is how they design their skate ramps. And yeah.
But I think that's, you know, we do math all the time. And I know I did math as a kid. I'm like, I hate this. When am I ever going to use this? And it was never, well, you're going to use this. As a kid, if they told me I was going to use math to design a skate park, I probably would be an engineer right now, because that, you know, I would have from an early age been doing that kind of stuff. Where now, like we were given, you know, pages of addition problems or multiplication problems, or, you know, I remember taking the standardized test one time and I handed in and the teacher says, they're not all, you better look at this. I said, I did. She goes, they're not none of the above. Like I had them all checked off. D, 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 none of the above, because I didn't care. And you know what? I did make a mistake, and I, you know, skip. But to have that drive there, you know, I think that's that. So you guys skate? Are you a skateboard family?
Oh, my kids love it. There was a skate park here before COVID. They really enjoy it. My husband and I grew up rural, and so even though we live here on the coast, we're a beach suburb, but neither of us can surf.
I was going to say Joe is getting jealous over there. Joe's a surfer and a skateboarder. So
the t-shirt I wore is a Rip Curl shirt, and the company is based out of Australia. It's like my favorite. It's, you know. But just to see, like, so that's awesome. That was your husband. Cause yeah. I watched the video. I'm like, oh yeah, look at that. Like to do the coping. And then I loved how he used it for perspective, you know, like, you know, this is where this would be and this is where this would be. And to break it up into thirds. And I'm like, holy crap, we could use this for fractions too. which is like chapter 8. So, and then we're geometry is chapter 12. So to be able to bring, I don't know, I'm hooked. I'm definitely hooked. And there's not much, you know, we video hooked me, book creator hooked me. And now this is, I don't know if it's just because it's drawing or I don't know, maybe it was a skate park video, but, and, you know, that was the first one I watched and just to see the progression of everything. And now I'm like, I want to get one because I want to design the skate park. That's why I want in the backyard and just even drawing half pipes as kids. I don't know. I just see this thing like I wish I had one in my stocking for Christmas.
Because we just, have a lot of orders.
I bet. Well, I saw that's why I asked about the delivery because it said I think the disclaimer was if you didn't buy it by December 18th, you wouldn't get it for Christmas. So
because we try and do really low cost postage in Australia. You know, like you can buy the splat and have it posted to you registered with tracking for under $10. So it does, Australian postal works a little bit different. We don't have the Amazon next day unless, you know, you pay a fair bit for it. So we try and just do it as affordable we can. But technically it is a mathematics manipulative.
Yeah, right.
So that is what it is. It is a mathematics manipulative used for differentiating your program. So if you are looking to where to place it or, you know, it is mathematics. I mean, you don't have to tell the students that because, oh my goodness, if I told my daughter it was math, she's like, she hates it. I'm like, everything is math. She's like, don't say that, Mom. So it's just a cool tool. And Steve Jobs, fascinating, gave a talk many years ago about that we truly do as humans have a dedicated part of our brain for the use of tools, right? So that is basically to amplify an ability that we already have. And it is inbuilt in us neurologically. And so not only is it just that it's tactile and it, you know, you can use it physically, but technically the uptake is associated with this neurological desire as humans to have tools that can amplify and help us do different things.
Well, I'm stoked. I can't wait to get mine.
Send us a request. Make sure you send us a request, Joe, and we'll do a video for you.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, okay, absolutely. Cool. Yeah. We do them every week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Cool.
Well, so I got to...
If you can help get us to 500 subscribers...
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
If you go and watch a video, subscribe. I mean, because new videos, you said, are coming out every week almost?
Yep, new videos. And this coming year, 2021, we'll also be doing 5-minute exercises to develop those fine motor and design.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
So you can do your sketching and, yep.
So I do. Ron, I watched it on our Teacher Nerds. I didn't subscribe. I'll smash that subscribe button.
Spoken like a true YouTuber.
You know it.
Awesome. So we're trying to do more of that next year.
Thank you so much for joining us. Taking from your summer break, you know, for you down there and, you know, being up early in the morning and
not cooking your family breakfast and talking to us. We appreciate that.
I'm like scared.
You might just stay in there for a few hours just to
alone time.
All right. Well, again, Kylie, thank you so much. Everybody listening, again, hit the subscribe button if you're watching their YouTube channel. Go to the website, splat3d.com. Check out the free resources.
Get yourself a splat.
Yeah, get yourself a splat and stay tuned for how you can maybe get a sponsored set, right? You know, yourself for your classroom. That'll be awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been great, guys. I've really enjoyed it. I'm glad we all agree on a BLT.
Yeah.
It's got bacon.
Right. Yeah. Anything with bacon.
Okay. Bye. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Teacher nerds knocking on your door. Open up, let's take your teaching further than before. Give it a try, don't be shy, there's nothing there to lose. Worst thing that happens, kids get pain on their shoes. We're talking teaching nerds. I'm talking.
Thanks for listening to the Teaching Nerds Podcast. Keep up with every new episode by subscribing on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Anchor, or anywhere you listen. Remember to visit teachernerds.com, and that's nerds with a Z. Follow us on Twitter at Teacher Nerds and on Instagram at Teacher Nerds Podcast. And thank you for being one of the Teacher Nerds.